Our text this evening is found in Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 through 25. Read that with me again. Colossians 3, verses 23 through 25. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. The church in Colossae was a faithful church of Jesus Christ. Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, praises them. In chapter 1, verses 3 through 4, he says, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Jesus Christ and the love which ye have to all the saints." The church in Colossae was a good example of a faithful church who loved God and the truth of His Word. But although Paul praises them, he does not neglect to exhort them to a continued life of sanctification. In chapter 1, verses 10 through 12, he writes that they increase in good works and in the knowledge of their God. And in chapter 3, verse 2, he exhorts them to set their affection on things above and not on the things of this earth. Paul, in a sense, says, do not be satisfied with your spiritual state. You may be a faithful church of Christ, but increase in good works. Increase in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. His exhortation to a continued life of sanctification continues throughout the chapter and becomes more specific in chapter 3, after giving some exhortations to love and unity. We come to verse 17, where we find a very astounding exhortation. Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, whatever you do, do in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the next few verses after verse 17, Paul applies this specific exhortation to the different spheres of life. To wives, to husbands, to children, to slaves, to masters. Paul gives the application of how to do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus. And after applying this exhortation to the toughest cultural distinction of his day, namely slaves and masters, he sees the need to repeat a very similar exhortation, which is the text we consider this evening. Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. We, like the church of Colossae, may be a faithful church of Christ, but we, like that church, must seek to obey the commands of God and increase in good works, increase in the knowledge of God. We must not be satisfied with our spiritual state. We must heed the commands of Scripture, as hard as it may be. So consider this command under the theme, doing everything for the Lord. First, the meaning. Second, the reason. And third, the incentive. The meaning, the reason, and the incentive. Now, before asking how we can do everything as to the Lord, we must first understand who this Lord is. Generally, a Lord is a master, one who has authority and ownership over another person. In the city of Colossae, there were masters or lords who owned certain portions of land. And on this land, they owned slaves or servants who tilled the land or worked in their homes. The masters, in verse 22, right before the text that we consider this evening, refer to these same lords who owned and ruled servants. Now, like verse 22, our text uses the same word, Lord. But here we have Lord in the singular with a definite article, the Lord, and it is clear that the Lord here refers to the heavenly Lord who has ownership and authority over all things. Specifically, this Lord refers to the ascended Lord Jesus Christ, who we confess this evening in the Apostles' Creed, sitting at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Paul has already described Christ's lordship over all things in chapter 1, verses 16 through 17. There we read that Christ has created all things and thus rules over all things. In contrast to any earthly lord or master, the Lord Jesus Christ has created all things and thus rules and has authority over all things. Every single person in this church and out there are under His authority. All are His servants. All are in service to Jesus Christ, the Master. But Christ is not just the Lord because He has power over us, but He is our Lord because of what He has done to save us. Who did we once confess as our Lord? We once served the devil himself. Ephesians 2 verse 2 says, "Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." We served that wicked prince of the air. We hated the Lord Jesus Christ. We were once under the power of Satan himself. But Christ has saved us from this devilish prince of darkness. He has ripped the bonds that once brought us into bondage to Satan. And He has freed us from those chains. And now we confess that Jesus Christ is our Lord. Is that your confession? Make it your confession that Jesus Christ is my Lord. You are my Lord, Christ Jesus. You have saved me from the power of Satan. And now I willingly confess that You are my master and I am Your slave. I surrender all that I have and all that I am to Your service. Is that your confession? With that confession, and with the knowledge that Christ Jesus is your master, we must willingly act, truly act, like servants of the Lord Jesus. The verb in the text that calls us to do all things for the Lord has the idea of working. Specifically refers to one's occupation. The basic meaning of that word is evident from the context. The command comes right after the verse that speaks to slaves. Slaves, obey your masters in all things. After telling slaves to obey their masters, they are called to work for the Lord. Since it comes right after the verse to obey your masters, we can apply this to our calling on the job. All that work that you do at your job must be done as work for your Lord. Might be the work of farming, the work of building pallets, the work of building houses, the work of sitting at your desk, teaching, computer programming, whatever it may be. all this work is not primarily for your boss. It is not primarily for your customers. It is for the Lord Jesus Christ. All your work is for Him. So this command is more than that. It encompasses more than that. Look at verse 17. Here is the all-embracing exhortation that comes before the specific applications. All that you do, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. That word deed comes from the same root as the verb in our text that commands us to work for the Lord. And then comes, after verse 17, all the specific applications of how we work, how we do deeds for the Lord. All the work of husbands, all the work of wives, the work of children, the work of parents, the work of employees, and the work of employers. All your work is done, or must be done, as work for the Lord Jesus. Whether it's sweeping the floor, or mowing the lawn, whether it's the work at school, or the chores at home, all the work of parenting, all the energy used to build the godly home that you desire, all that work, the work of disciplining a child, the work of raising a special needs child, this work is for the Lord. But the text is even more encompassing than that. Whatever you do, work for the Lord. That means every word, thought, and deed must be done in service for the Lord Jesus Christ. What is man? Now, it is easy to understand that sin is not in service of the Holy Master Jesus Christ. That is clear. But what may not be so clear to us are what we may call the neutral things in our lives. What about entertainment? What about sports? What about hunting and fishing? What about sleeping? What about all those things that we do in our own spare time? The text says, everything whatsoever you do must be done as work for your Lord. Not just your schoolwork, but your extracurricular activities. Not just when you're working at your desk, but when you're surfing the internet. Not just when you're active, working on the factory or on the farm, but when you're resting at home. This is work for your Master, Jesus Christ. What a calling. Let us examine ourselves. Are you doing everything as work for the Lord? Is there a specific sin in your lives that you are not struggling with, but are simply doing it out of habit? This in service of Satan. It is not in service of Christ Jesus. Get rid of that sin. Repent of it. And turn to serve Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now, examine yourselves. There are many things in our lives as weak sinners. Really, which really are not done as work for Jesus Christ. This is in disobedience to this command of God. Does this cause us to despair? No. We cannot, as weak sinners, live perfect lives of service to our Master. But we are sorry. We are sorry for our sins and we bring them to the cross of Jesus Christ and we ask Him to cover our sins of disservice in His blood. That is our only hope. And in our penitence, by the power of God by the power of Christ's Spirit working in us. We strive, we struggle hard to serve God more with our lives and root out all that is done in self-service and man-service and in service of the old master, Satan. In our penitence, we ask, how? How then do we do all things as work for our Lord? And the text says, heartily. Literally, out of the heart, or out of the soul. The soul of heart is the regenerated heart. The spiritual heart that has been given new life by the Spirit of God. It is Christ's Spirit that works in us to transform us, to give us new life so that we can live in service of Him. When a text calls us to work out of the soul, out of the heart, it calls us to work out of this new regenerated heart. We cannot work to serve God if we do not have this regenerated heart. So I ask you this evening, do you have this heart that the Spirit of God has worked in, over which He has lordship over, so that you confess that Christ is your master and you strive with all that you have and all that you are in His service? The Spirit of Christ works in our souls, but the flesh wars against this heart. We do still have that old man of sin that fights hard to serve that old master, Satan himself. Our human nature still desires to serve him, yet we fight. We fight hard with the Spirit of God working in us, and we pray, earnestly pray for Him to give us the strength to stand against the temptations of life, to serve others instead of God. Earnestly praying, we are strengthened more and more to serve God with more of our lives. With Christ working in our hearts, we will then walk in obedience to Him. Christ is our master, and we are His servants. And so to do all things for Him, we must obey Him. Obedience is how we work for Him. That means we obey the commandments that He has given to us. The Ten Commandments that we read this morning must be obeyed. Everything that we do must be in line with those commandments of God. But it's more than that. Obedience is not just following the commandments of God, but it is obeying the will of God in our lives. The Sovereign Lord Jesus Christ has placed you and you and you in a specific calling. He, the Sovereign Lord, has given you a task in this life. Do it faithfully. Work hard. Do it joyfully, for it is from your Master. Whatever calling it may be, this is great comfort and encouragement to us. If we know that it is work from Christ Jesus, then we work hard in service for the Master that we love. Whether it's sweeping the floor, or changing a diaper, or doing the work of a housewife. This is work for King Jesus. Work hard for Him. It might be the back-breaking labor in a factory. It might be the work that just does not give you a sense of accomplishment. Might be the work that you just do not like because you've lost your old job, or the work of looking for a new job. This is work from Jesus Christ. It is royal work. Do it joyfully in service of your Master. What work, whatever work that may seem menial, is not so menial anymore when you know that King Jesus has asked you to do it in service of Him, because the Lord Jesus Christ is our master. And we as slaves, we work for him. And as the text says, not for man. Now, that does not mean that we do not work to please man. For in the same chapter, we are called to please men. Husbands are called to please their wives, and wives their husbands. Children are called to please their parents by obeying them, and parents are to please their children by not provoking them to anger. Servants and masters are called to please one another. But our work is not primarily for man. That is the point of the text. Employees, it is not primarily for your boss that you work. Children, it is not primarily for your parents or for your teachers that you work. It is for the Lord, first of all. In serving the Lord, we may please those around us. We may please our parents and those who we work for. But we must work for God first of all. When obeying man comes at the expense of God's glory, we must refrain from such actions. For example, we must not break the Sabbath day in order to please man, the boss that we have. We must obey God rather than man, for we serve Him and Him alone. We are not working for a specific man that we all know very well. Do you know his name? Or her name? This man is called self. Natural man has always sought to raise himself above God. He always seeks to worship himself. That is a temptation of ourselves. Natural man seeks to work, and he works hard. He works hard at work, and he works hard at home, but he works hard to gain riches. And with those riches, he seeks to entertain himself. This is self-service. We do not work for man. When we work to please man at the expense of God's glory, we are in reality working to please ourselves, for we seek the glory. When we disobey the commandments of God, we are really giving in to our lustful and selfish desires. This is self-service. When we do those things, those neutral things in life, to such a degree that we neglect the important things of the church and of our family life, this is really in self-service. No, actually, it's in service. In reality, it's in service of that old master again, Satan himself. Beloved, do not work for yourselves. Do not work for man. Work for the Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing that we work for the Lord, we will also be motivated to work for Him in His kingdom, in His church. We will be more involved in the church. We will seek to build up the people of God. We will seek to gather His people in the work of evangelism and witnessing. Think about it. Who is your master? You say, Christ Jesus is my master. What is Christ Jesus' goal? It is the glorifying of God through the building of His church and the gathering of His people. And you are His servants. So work hard in the accomplishment of His goal. Be used by Him. Be His instruments for the building up of His church. Work for the church gathered, and work for the church yet to be gathered. This is our calling as the servants of Jesus Christ. The reason then for working for the Lord is thankfulness for the reward of the inheritance. The reward that we will receive is the inheritance of heaven But notice that it is not called the reward of merit. We do not work hard to serve the Lord because we think that if we serve Him, the more we serve Him, we will earn heaven. That is the reason why the text does not say it's a reward of merit. We receive a reward of the inheritance. An inheritance is a free gift. An inheritance is something that children inherit freely. So how do we receive it? Christ has made us the sons and daughters of God. Galatians 4 verses 5 through 7 says, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Christ Jesus has taken upon Himself all of your sins. Your sins have been washed away in His blood. And when God the Father looks down upon you, He sees perfectly righteous people. And He says, you are mine. I love you. You are my son. You are my daughter. Because of the work of my son, your precious Savior. There is great assurance that we will receive this inheritance of heaven. And we have such an assurance because of what Christ has done. The text gives a reason for why we know we have this inheritance of heaven. It is the Lord Christ that we serve. And we have already seen that Christ Jesus is our master and we are His slaves. But He's not a tyrant or a harsh slave driver of a master. Under such a master, there is no inheritance. In fact, under any other master, there is no inheritance. Christ Jesus is your loving master who Himself has served you. Think about that. You are His servants, but Jesus Christ Himself has served you. He has made you His servants. And not only that, He has made you the children of God. Because we serve the Lord Christ, our text says, we know we will receive this inheritance. This knowledge is a knowledge of faith. There is no doubt that we will receive the inheritance of heaven. The reason then for working hard and serving Him with all that we have and all that we are, the reason for that is because we are thankful for what He has done for us as our loving Master. I beseech you therefore, dearly beloved, by the mercies of God, to give yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It is your reasonable service. You owe it to Him. He has served you. Now serve Him. Thankfulness causes us to work hard in whatever it is that He has called us to do. To work with joy, work with diligence, work for the building and gathering of His church. The incentive of working for the Lord is the promise of heaven and the warning of hell. Those who inherit heaven, those who inherit eternal life, inherit it freely. And out of thankfulness, we serve Him. But although we inherit heaven freely, God does promise rewards in heaven. For those who work hard to serve Him, there will be a great reward. So work hard, beloved. Work hard for Him, and you will receive a crown of righteousness. But if there is no result of thankfulness, if there is no result of a new sanctified life, striving to do all things for the Lord. And such is proof of something. Those of you who do not truly desire to depart out of the way of self-service and man-service, those of you who do not truly desire to serve the Lord Christ with all that you have, understand that this is evidence of something disastrous. This proves that the Lord is not your master. Satan is still your master. And without Christ as your master, there is no inheritance of heaven. There is a different reward. Your reward is this. The text says you will be rewarded for the abundance of your wickedness. You shall receive for the wrong which you have done. Repent, wrongdoer. For your reward is surely hell. We have been called to work for the Lord. But God will not approve of our work if it is merely done outwardly. That is the point of the words respect of persons. God is not a respecter of persons. Literally, this is one word which means receiver of faces. God does not receive the face. Young woman, He does not look at your facial features. He does not look at your bodily form. Young man, He does not look at the muscles in your body or how you did in your game yesterday. He looks at the heart. He does not look at your color, your race, your wealth, your social status, your background, your popularity at school. None of this matters. He does not look at your outward belonging to a certain denomination. He does not look at truth, merely truth in your brain. He looks at the heart. He knows who you are inwardly. Unlike men on this earth, He knows your heart. He hates those who may seemingly look like outward middle class Christians, but are inwardly wrongdoers, who have no care to serve Jesus Christ. Our text says that such workers of iniquity will receive your just reward. These workers of iniquity do not merely refer to those who have committed horrible crimes, but they refer to those who may outwardly look like sheep, but are inwardly goats. They may work hard. They may even seem to work hard in the church, but they strive to work for selfish desires to promote themselves. God says to these goats, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Sheepfold of the shepherd, may the Spirit of Christ fill your heart so that from Him there flows a genuine desire to serve Him with your life. Love that Savior who has died on the cross for you. Be thankful to Him for His service to you. And serve Him with all that you have. Examine yourselves and root out all that is done in self-service and man-service and throw it away. Do not be satisfied like that church in Colossae. Do not be satisfied with your spiritual state, young man and old man. You can always, always serve God more with your life. You can always serve Christ more in His kingdom. Young people, children, people of God, may the Word of God inspire us. Let Christ's love be truly cherished in our hearts. Then serving Him at work will become more natural. Then serving Him with all that we have will be to us less of a demand and more of a delight. May God grant us the grace so that in humility we obey this hard command from His Word. Amen. Father, as we look in anticipation for the second coming of Thy Son, we do not want to be waiting in inactivity. So while we wait, give us the energy, the zeal, the grace, the power, the mercy, and whatever else we need to serve Thee and glorify Thy name here on this earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 3:11. What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits to me? How shall my soul by grace restored give worthy thanks, O Lord, to Thee? As we sing, let's ask ourselves these questions and show our thankfulness to Him and think but how we may serve God more with our lives. The five stanzas of 3:11. pray. We pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, thy fatherly love, and the communion of thy Holy Spirit abide with us all. Amen.